If you haven't heard of ChatGPT, Claude, Grok, Llama, or any of the other LLMs, you've been living under a rock. AI has the potential to change nearly every aspect of our lives, and some people are using it already, but perhaps maybe they aren't using it well.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off.
In today's podcast, we want to talk about eight ways that you can use AI to power up your dropshipping business. And right out of the gates, John and I are different. Again, we try to have you find a person to serve, not a product to serve when we dropship. And so John uses this to find person/product research. How do you do that, John?
Yeah, so one of the first things you're going to do when you're starting a dropshipping business, you should be starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, is that you're going to try and identify a niche, which we recommend is based around a person. So like an interest, a hobby, a passion, a business that somebody does, or maybe a group of people do. And so what you want to do in the beginning in that, and that's kind of like the first big decision, right? What's my niche going to be? What products am I going to sell? That's the first big question everybody has. You can use AI. So once again, there's ChatGPT. I've done it on a few different platforms. You can go on there and you can start right at the very beginning by asking the AI to suggest to you a list of, and you could say, give me 100 ideas of hobbies that people have in your country. So if you're in the US, you put in the US because high ticket dropshipping, you're going to be selling locally to people in the same country as your business. If you're in Australia, you could do it in Australia. And it's literally going to start spitting you out a list of ideas. And you can really, and this is where I really love AI and these AI tools at the moment, is with ideation. So helping you come up with ideas that you can often, when, you know, when it comes time to putting pen on paper and you've got to think up ideas, sometimes you can just blank out, right? And you can really use these tools to help get the ball rolling. So you can shortcut that step a lot. It's going to spit you out a bunch of ideas. You could take that a different direction. You could say, can you suggest to me a list of 100 small business ideas that people do in the United States? For example, and it's going to spit you out a list of business types or business categories or industries or whatever. And so then you've got your kind of starting list. And you can look through that, see if anything starts to jump out at you. But the next step in that niche research phase for a high-ticket dropshipping business is to work out what products exist within a particular idea. So let's say the AI says to you, oh, well, people in the US, you know, one of the ideas is they play golf, right? So you can then take that idea and say in your next prompt, say, okay, for the idea of golf, can you please suggest to me all of the products that somebody who plays golf would need to buy to play golf, right? Or you could go a different angle, and I would probably do this in a series of prompts. You could say, can you suggest to me what products somebody might buy to improve their game or their golf game or to get their, you know, get their handicap lower or whatever it is, right? And one, and then the AI is going to start spitting out just a whole bunch of different product ideas, right? And you can once again look at those. And of course, if we're high-ticket dropshipping, we're looking for higher-ticket products. And then you can reprompt the AI following that and say, from this list of products, are any of these products have an average price of $1,000 or more? So some of those products that they put in there, they're going to be like golf club sets. Some of them are going to be like golf shoes, which you're probably not going to dropship those. So you might have golf simulators. You might have, you know, other practice aids and things like that. And so you can reprompt it. It's going to have a rough idea of what product prices are and at least a rough idea, probably in a lot of cases a pretty exact idea. And then it's going to pull out some of those ideas and say, well, golf simulators are above $1,000 and this is above $1,000. And right there, you can then make an assessment on, okay, so does this niche have products at the right type of price point? Because that's kind of your first sort of, point of working out whether a niche is in or out as one you should consider. If it has no products over $1,000 in price, then it's automatically out as a high-ticket dropshipping niche and you can just move on to another idea. And so you can just keep re-prompting the AI around different ideas that it's thrown out to you. To take the business-to-business example as well, where I said you could use it to suggest businesses or small businesses that people run, you can take that list, and we've talked a lot about B2B recently on this podcast, you can take that list and say, okay, so for somebody who is looking to open a dental studio, and I've done this one and actually I thought it worked really well. I did this one personally. Can you suggest to me all of the products that someone would need to buy to set up and open a dental studio? And it like spat out a list of products, and there was something there, honestly, that I would have never thought of. And when so then you've got a list of products. And once again, you can ask it to tell you if the price is right. You can then take that list, open a Google window next to it, and start searching for those products. See what products actually come up off the AI. So, you should never trust AI 100% at this point, I don't think. You always want to double check what it's telling you. It's very easy to then just open up a Google window, start searching for those products. You're going to see Google shopping ads. You can see, confirm the pricing, and then you can go on to the next stages of your research. And I think using AI for this is really great, because every time I do it, and I'm pretty good at niche research, I've done it a lot, but it always gives me ideas that I missed, or things I didn't think of, or things I didn't even know existed. And I've looked at it and gone, huh, you know, I did this for, we talked about a niche on one of our recent podcasts where we talked about seven, underrated business-to-business ideas, the laboratory equipment one. And I know you looked at this with some of the product types I put in our notes for that show, and you were like, holy shit, what is all this stuff? I never heard of it either. I got all of those initial product ideas. I think I was using Claude actually at the time for that one. From AI suggested them to me. I went and looked at them and thought, holy shit, this is exactly what we should be looking for, and got us off to the right, on the right start there. So, I think that was really good. Now, this feeds into the next thing that you can use AI for. So, the second thing is you can use it for supplier research. So, and this flows right on. You could just continue. Let's say I was doing the dental equipment one, and I asked people about, you know, the AI to say, what's a list of products I could sell here? I can take a product category off that. So, it's going to say, well, you need to buy, you know, the dental chair that somebody sits in when they're in the dental surgery. And I can go in my next prompt and say, okay, can you provide me a list of manufacturers of dental chairs that are on sale in the US market or in the United States or whatever? It's going to, and once again, it's gonna not always, this bit I don't think it always gets right. So you definitely need to double check this. But it's gonna spit me out a list of brand names, companies, manufacturers that it knows from, you know, the internet and the access that it has, exist or have existed at least in the United States. So, once again, you can do this yourself, right? And we've talked about how to do this yourself without AI many times on this podcast. But the point is, like, it pulls out a list of names in a second, right, or two, which you can then, once again, head over to Google and say, okay, well, here's this name here. Put that into Google, find their website, and double check, is that a real supplier? So, this has sped up the time frame here in coming up with that list. The manual way of doing it is probably going to take you a couple of hours, right? To find all of the names and then check them, etc. This is cutting this step down to, like, you know, 10 minutes, because you're going to get the list of names in a couple of seconds, and it won't necessarily be exhaustive. When I've done this, I think sometimes they miss a few names. So, you know, you're going to come across names using some of the manual methods as well, but it's going to come up with the name super quick, and then you just punch them into Google. Is that a real company? Do they sell the real products? Yes, they do. Okay, I'm going to put them on my supplier list so that I can call them in the future. And I've found, particularly in, you know, the last month or two, that's been a pretty accurate way of doing it in the niches that I've tried it in.
I think it's impressive that it speeds up. Like, there's one note we're going to talk through on all of this stuff, which is productivity is through the roof, right? You just showed a way to do the research in 10% of the time it would normally take. You just did the supplier research in 10% of the time it would take. Productivity using these tools, if used right, can take you from, you know, one person into 10 people, essentially. There's limitless uses for this, and we haven't even scratched the surface here. What's number three, John?
Number three that I'm using it a lot for at the moment to, once again, really speed up the process. This is, I don't use it because I can't do this thing and I don't know how to do it. And could I do it better myself in a completely manual way? Yep, probably. But I love it here because it makes it just faster. And it helps me. I think this is something that's really... that maybe not a lot of people are thinking about. When you're an entrepreneur, you have a lot of decisions to make. You have, particularly when you're, you know, at the stage where you don't have a big team, you're kind of everything in your business. Your mind is full of a lot of shit, right? You've got all sorts of decisions you've got to make. You've got lots of different hats that you've got to wear, and you've got to jump from one to another constantly. And so, like, you every day you only have so much mental energy you can put to something. Like everybody, we have a limit past which the quality of what you're doing decreases and your ability to think clearly decreases, right? And so where I really love AI, which feeds into this next one, is that it helps you with that. Like when your brain is just fried and at its capacity and you can't think of new ideas or fresh ideas, usually what would happen is you would just start getting bogged down. Right. And you would lose a bit of motivation. You would be like, oh, this is so hard. And so the next point is email marketing. This is where I really love it. And so particularly if you're at a stage or a business where you've got a lot of stuff to set up here, you know, newer business, you're going to set up a bunch of different automated flows. You're going to probably start sending out blast campaigns, you know, maybe once a week or maybe more frequently than that. So in the beginning, there's a lot of emails that you're going to want to set up. Right. And you've got to think about, okay, so I want to set up an abandoned cart flow. I want to set up a sequence that welcomes new customers into my business. Maybe I want to have different abandoned cart flows based on different products that people are adding to cart. You know, I want to have a customer win back like automations. So there's a whole bunch of automated sequences, all with their own emails or variations of the same email. And you've got to think about all of those things. Right. And sometimes I find personally, I'm like, oh, we're running a, I used this recently for Black Friday, right? We had to set up a series of emails that were going to go out over 10 days to promote Black Friday and come up with some different angles and hooks for people around that. We were really busy. My brain was a bit fried and I sat down and I was like, oh, I know this stuff so well, but I just can't think of it right now, right? Like my brain was just at its limit. So I used Claude for this. I think Claude does this best at the moment. It's my preferred one. And I just said, look, I gave it the background of what our business is, the product that we're selling for Black Friday here, what it is, who we sell it to. So I described the avatar, the customer avatar that we're trying to appeal to, you know, sort of what they're looking to achieve with our product. And then I said, you know, we have a Black Friday sale coming up. This is the deal. This is how it helps people. Can you please suggest for me a 10 email structure that I can send out over the Black Friday sale? And so what it gave me first was an outline of each email. I didn't get it to give me the text for every email right there, but it just gave me the structure and said, you should send this email first because, and it actually gave me reasons why I should send this email here, what its purpose was. And then it gave me all 10 emails right there, right? And it was actually pretty good. I got to say, I was surprised. And then, so you can use it to help you work out, oh, I need to send an abandoned cart flow. Like, what's the best sequence of emails to, like, move somebody, you know, over 7 days towards the point of purchase if they abandon their checkout? And it can give you the structure of what those emails are. So, if you still want to write the emails yourself, you can use AI to tell you, like, psychologically, what's the best way, what's the best order of emails to send somebody, you know? To move them along. And then, so, you know, in the example of the Black Friday, some of those emails I was just like, yeah, cool. I'll just bang that up. It'll take me 2 seconds myself. But there were a few where I was like, that's an interesting angle. And I said, okay, so for email 3, can you write that email for me? You know, using a couple of extra inputs that I thought it needed, and it would write out the email. Here's the subject line. Here's the preheading. Here's the body text, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, you look at that and you go, oh, okay, like I don't really like that subject line. You can say, okay, can you give me 5 variations on that subject line if you don't like it? And it will give you, and like, so I got this email you know, series of 10 emails set up in like, you know, I don't know, a very short span. I want to say probably in the email automation tool in a couple of hours, where it would have taken me, and like I didn't just cut and paste everything that the AI said, obviously, and we'll talk about that as we get through this this show, but like my brain was fried. It probably would have taken me to drag myself to do it all by myself, probably would have taken a couple of days, like in chunks to get through it, because I was just, it's the end of the year, getting a bit tired. You know, we're in 9 businesses, you know, thinking about all of those different things constantly. The AI just, like, it really did the mental heavy lifting for me, even though I could completely have done it myself. Like, I don't need the AI, but let's be honest, it just made it a shit ton easier. And it wasn't far off the mark with anything. So once again, this was on Claude.ai. It was pretty close. And I've used it a couple of times since to help me do the same for, you know, various other automated flows where I'm saying, what's the structure I should be thinking about? Do you have some variations on that structure that I could consider? And then picking what I like and saying, okay, and now can you write that for me? You know, and just going through a series of prompts there. So I think for email marketing as well, where you don't have to worry about some of the cut and paste issues with AI stuff that you might have for like SEO, which I'm sure you're going to mention, or content at this point in time, you don't have to worry about that so much for email marketing because, you know, probably there's some words you want to avoid putting in emails because they're kind of known spam traps. But even then, like AI, like known spam traps aren't hard to know. AI probably knows those. So I don't find I have to knock. You have to tweak them a little bit. Like the language is sometimes a little bit off, like a few words here and there. But by and large for me, it's, you know, pretty close.
Yeah, I'm super impressed. I'm really happy to hear that you like Claude as much as I do now. It's something I started using a few months back, and I think Claude might be the best one, if I'm honest, for writing. Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, I was binging podcasts probably like you're doing right now, and the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you. At dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, you can see a free training where John walks you through one of our businesses and shows you what the site looks like, what the process is for setting up one of these stores, and how you can take your next steps to setting up your own high-ticket dropshipping business. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training. All right. So yep. I want to talk about some we can give a lot of ideas here. And I would say most of these we've actually done. These are specific things that I did recently. So number 4, understanding your market. So we have a business, John and I do, in Australia with another partner named Blake. And right now, one of our employees is working through every one of the products to make sure SEO is on point as we move forward. And as we're going through those, we're starting to see some of the weird words that Australians use. So the Australian folk use a few different words that I'm not used to hearing. And some of them probably were more mundane than others. But the one that came up for us was al fresco. So we sell some bar fridges on there, and it said al fresco bar fridges. And for the life of me, before we VPN'd in, we couldn't find anything about it here in America. And then we VPN'd into Australia, and wouldn't you know it, there was search volume there. And so we went to the AI and just said, okay, we know Australians use different words. Can you help us understand how they might be thinking about bar fridges? Why would they use the word alfresco and we don't use the word alfresco? And this is a very small example of how the AI helped me understand my market, whereas I think there are a lot of you, myself included, who may have a business that you aren't super passionate about, and you're answering phone calls and feeling kind of insecure about what's happening. And I think this is where AI could really help on understanding your market. So I'll go way back to 2015. I had the3dprinterguy.com, and I'm selling 3D printers, and I don't know anything about them. And I'm answering phone calls, and usually I would just let it go to a voicemail where it said, everyone here is currently busy. Please leave a message. One of our representatives will call you back. And they would leave their message. I would listen to it, go to Google, find the answer to the question, and then call them back and act like I knew what I was talking about, where I think you could probably do some of this in real time using AI to help understand some of the questions they're asking. Or even better, as you're uploading the products or your team is, this can help you really understand what they're talking about. Often high ticket products are quite complex. And so I do think you can use this tool to understand your market well. The next place I've been using it recently is on collection pages. So if you've listened to me talk anything about SEO in the recent past, way back when I would tell you to build up these beautiful collection pages and really lean into the fact that you can rank collection pages quite easily on an e-commerce store. Nowadays, Google wants very little content. They want your collection pages to be shoppable. And so right now I'm shooting for 150 characters in content. I am still hitting my one keyword, one page bundle. If you've ever heard me talk about that, I'm sure you've heard me. There's an SEO podcast that came out a couple weeks before this if you want to check out a little on SEO from me. But I'm hitting those 150 characters using AI. So I go to the AI. One, I'm creating custom GPTs. So I'm creating, if you have a ChatGPT account, you can just create a custom GPT. I'm giving it knowledge around who I'm talking to in this business. So it allows me to give a lot of context that I don't have to reprompt into the AI. So I built a copywriter for one of our businesses. I named it, you know, for the Australian one, we named it the Bogan Copywriter. Again, Bogan is like a redneck in Australia. And then we give it all the context we can. So I'll give it our About Us page to get it to learn our tone. I will, if I'm specifically going after someone like a Bogan, I went to Reddit and I said, what is a Bogan? And I found all of the responses to this that were upvoted the most. And I grabbed all of those responses and I put it into the engine and said, this describes our current customer really, really well. For other places, I put in some of our product pages that were done really well already or from some of our suppliers and just say, you know, here, learn about our market. And then I specifically moved on to like, who are we targeting and what are their problems? How are they trying to solve them? What benefits are they seeking from our products? I'm trying to give all the context I can to this custom GPT. Then I'll create the custom GPT. And again, you can share these. There's tons of public ones too that are absolutely free. And I'll go to the window and I'll say, okay, here's what we're going to do today. We're going to create collection pages. I want to write, I'm going to give you the H1, I'm going to give you the H2, and then I'm going to give you a bucket of keywords that I want you to sprinkle within 150 characters that describe this page. So I'll say, you know, here's the H1, here's the H2, here's our bucket of keywords, and then a little bit about the type of product that's on that page and who's shopping those. So not everything you sell on your site, the people are going to be looking for the same benefit or the same problem you're trying to solve. So giving you a little bit more context in that window. And I would say I did 50 collection pages recently for one of our businesses and it was fantastic. I didn't have to correct a whole lot of stuff. It got ninja, if you will, with some of those phrases people search online that are not necessarily English, or phrases. I don't know why they have search volume because they don't even make sense. Some of the searches that people use on Google, and it found ways to put those keywords into this 150 characters. So I think this is something we'll probably show you coming soon, either here or in our community. Certainly we'll be doing this on one of our businesses where we'll kind of show this, but I think this is something people could do quite easily to really pound out collection pages. And if you've ever heard me talk anything about SEO, that's where you're going to make a lot of money, is on your collection pages, right? Product type for blank or adjective product type collection pages. You can really pound these out quite quickly. And one little thing I threw on the end of here, right before we started recording, I don't recall the fella's name on Twitter who posted this, but he is using the new ChatGPT to take his collection page, have it analyzed by ChatGPT, and I'm sure you could do this with others, and then say, can you create shop the look type images here? So if you're selling, you know, dining room furniture, which is, by the way, something we would not recommend selling, dining room furniture. But if you had a specific type of dining room furniture, you could say, hey, can you take all of these products and create a shop the look type image? And so whether that's for your collection page, whether that's for some blog posts you're doing, I really think AI images are not bad. Certainly you're going to have to reprompt. You're probably going to get somebody with, you know, two elbows and three arms sticking out of one side or extra fingers or who knows. But if you're just doing settings, I think you can quite confidently come up with some images, certainly for blog posts, and perhaps elsewhere on your site. The shop the look one intrigued me a lot. All right. I'm going to keep going here, John, if you don't mind. Number six, yeah. Content. So the thing that I see people doing mostly wrong with AI is they'll go to AI and say, write me an article on this. And then they'll grab all that text and they'll put it on their site. That's not the right way I would do this, but I do think you can use AI for content. You just have to be a little more thoughtful about it. So we've talked a lot about reprompting on this podcast. You're going to need to do it here, right? So one, you have to go do the keyword research for this so that you understand the topic you're going after. Anyway, it might even be able to help you with supporting keywords. But if you can give it your keywords you want to use and then tell it the tone you want to take and the person you're going to solve and the point of the article, it should spit you out a decent first draft. You might even be able to go do what John did and go to each headline and say, hey, give me five variations of this headline in a lighter tone or a more professional tone, or ask a question with this headline instead of, you know, making a statement. And that's your first edit. And if you can take your first draft using your keyword research, you have the AI make your first draft, you have the AI make some edits for you, and then you as a human go in there and actually make the edits that are necessary to, one, make sure it's accurate, two, make sure it's, you know, factual, and three, make it, you know, sound less AI, if you will. AI has a tendency to use big verbose words that most people don't even know what they are. In fact, one of the prompts I often give around content, and I definitely did on the Bogan custom GPT, was like, this person has a fourth grade education and you need to talk like a fourth grade education. So you can, in the past, we've used apps like Hemingway to bring our content down to a fourth grade reading level. And I know that sounds really sad to some people who are listening to this and others who are like, oh, thank God, I can't read half the stuff on the internet. Most people can't. And so AI tends to lean into these big, big words and adjectives. You kind of have to reprompt it to get out of there. And you have to do a final edit yourself to, you know, just skim over the article. Again, make sure it's accurate, factual, and make sure it's not using huge, huge words that just don't make any sense. It needs to be readable, right? All right, number seven, coding help. Recently, I had some issues with some tables. Tables can be a funky thing when you're trying to code them into a website. I asked ChatGPT to help me analyze the code and help make the code better there, of which it did. I had an issue in a Google Sheet that myself and a partner could not solve in one of our bookkeeping spreadsheets. I took the code in there and said, hey, it's working in this cell and not working in this cell. What am I doing wrong? It analyzed both of those and told me exactly where the error was. I think you can use this in a lot of other spots. I think coding is something that perhaps keeps people away from getting started because you do have to learn just a tiny bit of code, just a tiny bit, you know, basic HTML. But at this point, you don't really need to learn it. You need to understand how to ask the AI to interpret what needs to be done and make some changes for you. Shopify is a super easy platform for this. But I think, I think 80% of coding is going to be done by AI in the future, if not 90%. Like they're faster, they're more accurate, and I use it quite often, if I'm honest, just to go ask it questions, which I think, you know, kind of leads into our last point. Just go ask stuff.
What platform were you using for the coding?
ChatGPT.
ChatGPT. Yeah.
I've used Claude too. They push stuff into like context windows. So ChatGPT answers everything in your thing. Claude likes to put them into artifacts, I think is what they're called, or like markdown windows and things like that. So I'm not opposed to it. And again, I've used both, but mostly just it was convenient to use ChatGPT at the time.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah, look, the last one, I think, ask. So, I mean, I said a bit earlier, I think, you know, AI is great for ideation and helping you to think about things that maybe you just can't think about, either because you don't have the experience to think about everything yet, or just because you're tired. You know, you've reached the limits of what a human can do in a day, or what you can do in a day, and you're just not thinking as clearly and as straight as you might at the start of the day. So, you know, once again, as an entrepreneur, you're constantly coming up against problems, things you have to think through, things you have to work out. And once again, if you're at the start of your entrepreneurial journey, things you just don't know yet, you don't know the answer. And so you can just go to, you know, AI and ask it about a problem. So how should I think about this problem, or something like, I'm trying to solve X problem. Ask me questions to learn more about the problem and gather all the context so that you can help me solve my problem. And that could be anything from how to deal with a customer. It could be, what to do in a particular situation. You know, there's many different ways that this could present itself. And I think, once again, you know, not everything that an AI tool suggests is going to be exactly relevant for you and your circumstances. And I think at this point in time, you know, it's probably ideal if you still are, you know, if you've got a mentor, you're asking them, you know, some of about your problems as well, because I think there's an element here where an AI is not going to come up with every solution, or perhaps the solution that's best suited to your particular circumstances in your business. But I think it's just another tool that you have now in your repertoire, which can help you to come up with creative solutions that maybe you're not thinking about, and to do it quickly. You might not be able to lean on somebody else at that particular moment in time, just maybe because of what time of day it is, or time zone differences, or whatever it might be. You might not have access to your normal network that you use to support you through problems and challenges, but you know, AI is always there. And so to just give you that little boost, I guess, in your problem solving ability, I think it's a really great tool to use as part of your overall, I guess, problem solving method. And I think particularly around particular industries as well. Like once again, when you're high ticket dropshipping, you're going to be working within a niche. For a lot of people, it's not going to be a niche that you have experience in, or at least in a lot of the way. And so once again, AI, I think, can be really helpful to problem solve things that are relevant to the, you know, the niche or the industry or whatever it might be that you're actually running your business in when you're a bit newer in that industry.
We live in a world with amazing entrepreneurs, like some of the best of all time. Elon's some of the best of all time. And I like to use this tool when I have a problem that I want to try to think, you know, from first principles or think around every side of it. I'll use this tool to ask, how would one of those amazing entrepreneurs think about this? How would Steve Jobs solve this problem? How would Elon solve this problem? How would Mark Zuckerberg or Brian Chesky from Airbnb, how would they think about this problem? And often they'll come at it from a direction you didn't even think of. And maybe it's as simple as, hey, I'm trying to build this dropshipping site and I need to upload 300 products and I'm getting really stressed out. What are some ways that I could solve this, right? And you might have heard, you know, go hire somebody on Upwork or go hire somebody on from the Philippines to help you as a VA. But go ask AI, how would you do this? What are some ways that I could do this faster? Here's the problems I'm running into. How would Mark Zuckerberg handle this? Those are the questions I like to use it for. So, all right, I want to give you a quick bonus though. So I think at the time of recording this that Grok might be my new favorite AI. I think it is low-key might be the best one out there at this point. Llama's really out front, but it's not many people using that one. But I think Grok might be my new favorite. You know, Elon is some people's favorite and some people's, you know, less than favorite. I'm a big fan personally. I like him. Book is fantastic, by the way, if you want to read the Walter Isaacson book. But I think Grok, what they've created over there is pretty special. And I think what really makes it special is it gets all of Twitter's information. So Twitter is, some people would call it a bubble, but if you want to see something happening in real time in news, you're going to be on Twitter. If you want real unencumbered thoughts, you're probably going to be on Twitter. It takes a different type of person to be on Twitter. There's different conversations on Twitter, but you're going to get real information there. So if you wanted to get real-time feedback about brands, products, sentiment in your industry, I would use Grok. I think it has some of the latest information that wouldn't be accessible elsewhere. Their image generator is incredible, and I'm pretty sure they made it free like yesterday as of recording this. I would recommend checking out their image generator as well. It's very, very good. So some points I want to get across, John, before we wrap this thing up. One, make sure to prompt and reprompt and reprompt and reprompt and reprompt. I cannot say this enough. Do not just take the first thing that it spits out. Everything from the piece of content to the email to the subject line to the headline to the picture, every single thing that you do, ask it to make 10 more, because it'll make it in a matter of seconds. And then you get to say, well, this one's way better than this one. Give it more context. Talk about the person you're serving. Talk about the problem you're solving. Talk about the benefits they're going to get. Give it as much context as you can, and it will continue to get better and better and better as you continue to reprompt it. Don't have it write the full articles, as I said, and don't trust all the info that you get from these AIs. None of them are meant to be 100% accurate. They're doing the best they can. And when they don't know the answer, they create an answer. And so don't just trust it. Don't have it write a complex article about the safety and efficacy of your products and then just trust the information it puts out there. Obviously, you're putting yourself at risk by just trusting the stuff. But I would say productivity through the roof. That's the main point I want to get across here. Whether you are doing your person or product research or your supplier research or email marketing or trying to research your market, building collection pages or content, blog posts, doing coding, or just general bouncing back and forth and using it as an idea generator, this is going to take your productivity through the roof. This is no longer all on your back. You are going to be able to do things much, much, much faster in your business. I would equate this to, you know, my dad was using a dumb phone for as long as I can remember, John. One of those flip phones. In fact, I was buying him on eBay because you couldn't buy him new anywhere. I was buying him on eBay just to keep him using the dumb phone because that's all he wanted. I finally got him to an iPhone. He still doesn't know how to use it. He's not using email. He called me the other day and said, I think I got a virus. It told me I needed a VPN. It said, click here and put your payment in. Should I put my payment in? You know, this is where we're at with the, I think if you don't acknowledge this AI stuff in your business, in your life, you're going to be my dad in 10 years. Cause this is moving very, very fast and it can really power you up. But you need to know how to use it. And hopefully today we walk through, here's exactly how we would use it in our business. But I'm telling you, John, I use this everywhere else. My 9-year-old and 10-year-olds now ask really hard questions, as most kids do. And sometimes I don't know how to explain it in a way a kid would understand. ChatGPT, Claude has been super helpful in breaking it down to analogies that 10-year-olds can understand. When they ask me, what is inflation? That's really hard to explain to a 10-year-old. Well, it broke it down to a lemonade stand and walked through inflation for me in a way that I'm really glad they did. So, I'm really happy we did this episode, and I can't wait for the next time we do it when we have 8 new ways that we're using this in our business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, AI, you know, it's, I think the two biggest problems are people get lazy with it, right? And you can't be lazy with any aspect of your business. You definitely cannot be lazy with AI at this point, right? You do have to put, it speeds things up a lot, but you still have to spend a bit of time with it to get the best outcome via prompting, reprompting, maybe building yourself a custom GPT, as Ben's mentioned, that's suited to your business, your niche, your customer, and getting it to do everything through that lens. But also don't be intimidated by it. I think some people out there are a bit intimidated by it at the moment because it is new things, you know, that they can be a bit scary, they can be a bit whatever it might be. But the reality is it's not going anywhere at this point. Where it goes is probably fairly open to interpretation at this point, but there's going to be some variations of AI that are going to be a part of our lives from now on. And so just, if you're feeling a little bit intimidated by it, just please go and play around with it. Just play around with it. I mean, even if you don't even use it in your business, just create an account, you know, whether it's with ChatGPT, whether it's with Claude, whether it's with Grok, whether it's whatever, or a few of those, and just play around with them. Just get used to the interface, get used to asking questions, prompting, reprompting, digging a bit deeper. And I think just playing around with it, you'll start to see the applications and the ways that you can use it as well. And I think that's a really important thing for people maybe who have been in business for a while and are kind of used to doing things their own way. You know, you need to start breaking down that intimidation factor if you are feeling that a little bit, because these are things that you're going to need to use to grow your business in the future. And so, yeah, look, if we've talked a bit about high-ticket dropshipping here, we've talked a bit about AI. If you'd love to get in and learn more about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business where you can actually use these tools to help you build, to help you grow, to help you find the right products to sell, and all of the above, head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. We've got a brand new free training up there, which will take you through exactly how you can build one of these businesses and get it up and running in the next month.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.